Brighter Day. I love that song. That was created for our, actually for our Dr. Fay Live International Telecast. And it is a real blessing. There is a brighter day. By the way, guys, I appreciate those of you that have been listening in and sending us email messages. But if you would please remember to make a comment. This is Dr. Fay right here every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Dr. Fay Live. I hope you guys have had a great day, and remember to turn those clocks an hour forward. If you're with us, you remembered. If someone reminded you today to do it, because sometimes you just forget, and it seems like each year it changes a little bit as to when they plan on doing it. And I just noticed a couple of days ago that Easter is on April 24th. Like, oh, hello. That's like close to Mother's Day. So you guys will have to hunt your eggs and go buy Mother's Day cards all on the same weekend. I don't know. These rules are made without anybody consulting me. So there you have it, you know. Just another reminder there. Don't forget Easter, April 24th, for those of you who celebrate Easter. Uh-huh. And Mother's Day, those of you who celebrate Mother's Day, don't forget those holidays that are coming up. And just want to remind you, good family time for fellowship. Even if you don't appreciate Easter and the bunny rabbit, it certainly is a good time to connect with people and to fellowship and to have just a good time of sharing and blessing each other. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you have enjoyed this warmer weather. Those of you who are in the Midwest and on the East Coast and even in the South, Northwest, who've had a frigid winter. Oh, the snow, the snow, the snow. I would fly out, and let me tell you, I felt so blessed. I would fly out before the snow, come back in after the fly back in after the snow. And I thought, oh, wow, I could not have planned this myself. Just could not have planned it. And have wonderful, wonderful people around me who have made sure my driveway was shoveled when I came back in. And actually, one occasion, yeah, I'm on a little tangent here, but bear with me. On one occasion, I actually, there was so much snow. And when I came back in, I noticed my driveway was completely clear. It looked better than anybody's driveway I had passed coming up our drive, coming up the out in the area where I lived. It looked better than all the driveways I had passed by, and I thought, my goodness, how nice is this? Some neighbor came over and actually made sure that everything was done, and I mean, it was immaculate. And I thought, okay, or maybe the snow guy just felt extra special that day and decided to clean my driveway. But it didn't happen that way at all. So the next day I was conversing with one of my neighbors about it, and he said, no, we were all upset with you. I said, why? He said, because because when it hit, everybody's driveway just was getting dumped. But for some reason, in your direction, over at your house, in your driveway, the wind was blowing all of your snow in our direction, away from you on into our driveway. And I said, whoops. It blew it in such a way it's as though the snow never hit my driveway. Isn't that incredible? Anyway, that's just a little sidebar story I wanted to share with you today, because I know God is so good. Exciting things are happening everywhere, and I am so glad that even God just keeps the snow off my driveway when it's necessary, because I had an long, long, long week, and I think it was like one of those four or five, I don't know, it was several days out, and when I came back, listen, all I wanted to do, all I could think about was bath on a bed, and there it was, not even having to worry about snow or residual or any such thing. So, listen, God does amazing things all the way around. We've had some exciting broadcasts here, and I wanted to tell you, tonight we're going to pick up on the book of Revelations. Maybe Mark and Kathy want to just share with us a little bit about what they've been up to over the weekend. Those of you that were with us last week for Dr. Fay Live and Empower Me Now this previous Friday night, And if you haven't joined us for Empower Me Now, shame on you, or Dr. Faye Live, this is your first time, welcome, and I know you'll be back. We've been talking about the unfailing of the Christ through the book of the Revelation over the past several weeks and months, and it's been a tremendous journey. It's been fantastic because many of you have been downloading, hundreds of you have been listening archive and been downloading it to iPod. Hundreds of you have listened, well, actually now we're adding up the numbers, thousands of you have downloaded the Empower Me Now and Dr. Faye Live, and the Global Church audience on Saturday morning at 10:30 is growing by leaps and bounds. By the way, you can listen to that right at drfaye.com, drfaye.com, and you can hear all the broadcasts. In our addition to Real Estate Live, Monday through Fridays from 9 a.m. to 9:15, 15 minutes of talk from Monday through Friday. And it is the merging of real estate and God, as if that's something new. It's not. But we talk about it every day. And beginning Wednesday, March 16th, right here, we will be hosting 90 minutes of Point of View from 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon p.m. And as many of you as can, join in. That's going to be this particular broadcast, just to let you know, will be focused on National Women History, International or National Women History Month. And we are remembering the women in our lives. So if you have women that you feel close to, whether in the body or out of the body, if you feel close to, and you want to celebrate them and pay them tribute and talk about their legacy, call in this Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. until 12 noon p.m., where women will be gathered around the fire to share about the women, not just women, men as well. But I did gather a couple of women that I wanted to come to the broadcast and just be a part of that. It's going to be phenomenal. I don't know if Kathy Eden is going to be available, but if you are, sis, we want to have you. I didn't want to put you on the spot with your mic open yet, but I definitely wanted to have you if you are available for that particular broadcast. So listen, guys, it's going to be great. I think I've covered all the territory I need to cover, and I want Mark Eden to jump right in here. How are you doing this evening, Mark?
I am doing glorious, glorious, glorious.
I can believe that. I can believe that. So how did your event go this weekend?
It went excellent. We had so much diversity. We got together on Friday night after the broadcast, and we ate, and there was just a sense of just being real and open. And then Saturday morning, it was like, boy, I'm telling you, we were challenged on all kinds of topics. It was just kind of like, you know, something pull out your concordance. And then in the afternoon, it was a really diverse. We had people coming in that were talking about prayer and prayer walking your city and reaching your city. And then mm-hmm. we had some people come in and really dealt with what I would consider kind of ideas of, you know, why we came here and love wanted to experience ourselves. And then on in the afternoon, we had discussions. And I tell you, boy, these guys just opened up their hearts, and they said, you know, I don't see it this way. I see it this way. Just a tonight we begin to speak, and it's like the Holy Spirit came in.
Mark, I know you're traveling because your phone is breaking up there, and I knew you would be traveling this evening, so I'm not surprised that the connections is not that great. But we're hearing bits and pieces that it was a phenomenal weekend, and that's good to know. So maybe as we go forth, you will get into a little bit of a better area there. Are you still with us?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, well, what I was saying, there was, I think, some high lines that we got away from there. But on Friday night, there was just a time of openness and sharing and people bearing their hearts. Saturday morning, it was just, I mean, we were examining biblical texts. We was examining mm-hmm. theology and Hebrew and mm-hmm. Greek words and things like that. And then in the afternoon, it was more progressive. We talked about separation, the illusion. And I tell you, man, these guys just opened up their hearts and they were real. And, you know, you don't see that in a lot of ministries. You don't see people being real. And then we had people from 8 different states. And then on into the afternoon, we just had a lot of people sharing their honesty, sharing their honest hearts. And then at night, the Holy Spirit just came in and people began to share things. It was like they couldn't even present their message. They just flowed, and it was so good. Uh-huh. And then this morning, we just had a big, gigantic thing about truth and relevance, and it was good discussion. So I was really excited about the conference.
That is great, because that's what we want to hear, because when truth prevails, cities and nations are changed. And people who are on fire catch other people on fire. And that's what has to happen, that snowball effect, where it actually unites and turns nations around. I hear Kathy jumping in there.
Yeah, she was saying that they're wanting us to have another conference soon, and they're excited in Russellville what was going on. We had several of the ministers from the local area come out, and that's always important to me. And they got to minister, some of them, I think they just had cutting-edge words. We brought the remnant out, which is what we wanted. Yeah. And I'll let Kathy respond to that.
Sure.
I'm just excited what God's doing. I've been saying this for months. I'm just excited of the diversification that we can have. The people can speak their truth. And I say their truth, not necessarily the truth, but their truth and their belief. But yet, it doesn't matter, because we all love the same. As long as we accept one another for who and whose we are. And that's what happened this weekend. And the power of God was so strong, it began moving through people. People became, mute. They couldn't even talk. The power of God was so strong. And this one man has been in this movement for over 50 years. He's 80-something years old, and he said he hadn't had that happen to him in over 40 years, and so it was just exciting about what God was doing. Here's Mark.
Beautiful, beautiful.
This was an exciting time for us, and we've got so much stuff going through our heads. We just might let it marinate a little bit before we might, share more about it. But if it's okay, I'll go ahead and go on to the book of Revelation.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, in Revelation chapter 19, now for several months now, we've been talking about the book of Revelation, that the book of Revelation is the Christ in you, the unveiling, the hope of glory. And for the last few chapters, we've been referring to this judgment that was to come on Babylon. We know in Revelation 14:7 in the Waymoth, it says, "Fear God, give him glory, because the time of his judgment has come." Revelation 4:7 in the Greek English interlator says, "Because came the hour of his judgment." Revelation 14:8 in the Waymoth, "Babylon has fallen. She has made the nations drink of the wine provoked by her fornication." And it was real interesting this weekend that Willie Cripps ministered on, Babylon is not conquered, it's not subdued, it falls. And in other words, one minute this religious system is here, and the next minute it is gone. And I just thought that was so appropriate to where we've been.
Uh-huh.
Revelation 15:4 in the Waymoth says, "Because the righteousness of all that has been done has been made manifest." Revelation 16:7, Waymoth, "Even so the Lord God, the ruler of all, true and righteous are thy judgments." And then in Revelation 17:1, which says, "Come hither, draw close to me in the secret place, and I will show you a small model illustrating or demonstrating the fall of Babylon." And I believe that Babylon is got two interpretations here. One, it is referring to Jerusalem, but it is also referring to this system, this vocabulary. As you stated so well, this idea, the last idea we had of God, becomes a hindrance to this new thing that he is birthing in this revolution. And that's where our context is. Now in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, "And after these things," or after the fall of Babylon, after the economic system has fallen, it says, "And after," that's meta in Greek, it means beyond this, after this, "I heard a great voice saying in heaven, Alleluia, salvation." Now, this is an interesting word, because this is the word soteria. There's two Greek words for salvation. There's sozo, which is the wholeness that God puts on the inside of you. But then there is the word soteria, which is the deliverance from fear. It is the deliverance from our limitations. It is not just us coming in and having it inside of us, but us expanding and growing it out of us from the inside out. So he says, hallelujah, salvation, soteria, glory, and we know glory is the basically the thought patterns, the system of thinking in the presence of God, the place where your thinking is saturated in his glory, in his presence, and honor. And, oh, that's a big one we don't know much about. And to me, this word denotes dignity, that people have a dignity. And power, that's dunamis. It's translated from the Greek word dunamis into our English word dynamite. It's explosive. Unto the Lord our God, verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments. Notice that's kind of speaking in a past tense. The word true is the same Greek word we get the word truth, which means truth after the breakdown of all appearance. In other words, you come in and after all the illusions, all the appearances broke down, there is still a truth that stands. Mm-hmm. For true and righteous, and this word here in righteous is a word that says to point forth the demonstration of his righteousness, right standing with God, victorious consciousness, are his judgments. For he has judged the great, and I use this word prostitute, I don't like the King James in that, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and have avenged the blood of her servants at her hand. We're still in context talking about the fall of Babylon, the fall mm-hmm. of this confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God on the throne, said, amen, hallelujah. For a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all his servants, and you reverentially fear him, both great and small and great. We can never have that place in his presence and have that place in worship, in the secret place, until we begin to see Babylon fallen in our minds.
This is not to happen
on the inside of us.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. As you were sharing that, the Spirit of God brought this scripture back to my remembrance that we have quoted so many times because we have repeated our knowledge of the scripture, many of us, out of what we were taught by our scriptorial fathers. And there was Mark 11:22 where it says, And Jesus answered, saying to them, if you have faith in God, truly I say to you, whoever should say to this mountain, be moved and fall into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will be done, it will be done to him. And we have read that in saying the mountain that is trying to hinder our faith. And he says, anything you pray for and ask, believe that you will receive it, and it will done. It will be done. But what the Holy Spirit is giving me a different twist on this scripture right now, Mark. He is saying your belief systems must first be demolished, must first be annihilated, must first dissipate before your faith can be released. Wow.
That's a very powerful concept, because what we do see so much in the church is not faith, because if we saw faith, we would see the miracles, we would see the signs, we would see the wonders. More than that, we would see the inner confidence. But what we have is so many belief systems that may or may not be in accordance to truth.
Mm-hmm. And those belief systems have become our mountains. They have become a fortress. They have become our walls. And we have built fortified cities. We have come up with a Babylonian mentality. We have built these fortified cities not only as a corporate group, but we have built them individually, because we each have our own idea of God. We each have our own relationship with the idea of God that we have. So when you have and I have each an idea of God, and that idea of God is the God that we worship, and that the relationship that we develop is out of the idea of God that we worship, we cannot come together, because you and I basically are worshiping two different ideas of God. So until that Babylon is fallen, until that mountain that we have built up ourselves, we must say to this mountain, he says, have a God kind of faith. Have God's faith. Not your faith, but have God's faith. And in order to have God's faith, I have to realize that everything else that I have built up in my life is not God's faith. It's been someone else's faith that they have tried to, not on purpose, but that I have inherited. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Someone else's faith that I have inherited, and their faith does not work for me. That I can't wear those jeans. Those are not my shoes. So I have to realize where I am, firstly. If I realize where I am, Mark and Kathy, then therefore I can say to the mountain, no, I will not be a part of that system that I have built up in my own mind. And I have worshipped it in my own mind. Therefore, I do not see the wealth. I do not see the health. I do not see the relationships I should have. My life is not working. I do not have a God kind of faith, because God kind of faith always works. And when my life is not working, I'm not operating in God's kind of faith. I'm operating in Babylon.
Yes.
So when Babylon falls, even if it falls in my house, my life takes on God's form. So when it takes on God's form, then everything that is God begins to unveil itself in my life. I don't need a prayer line to tell me I'm healed. I don't need somebody to tell me if you give, it's given unto me. I already know, because I'm operating in the God faith right now, because I don't have anything obstructing my view, my vision. Mountains obstruct view. Mountains keep me from passing over. Woo! Mountains keep me from seeing the other side. But when I have said to the mountain, you've got to go, I'm not letting anything stand in my way of my relationship with God, not even my own beliefs, not even my own interpretation of text, not even my own understanding, not even my own prayer, nothing, zip, nothing is going to stand in my way of my relationship with God. I must come against my own Babylon.
Yes.
And take responsibility for my own relationship with God, and therefore eradicate the idea of God and move into true relationship with a true and living God. Mark and Kathy are both.
Well, the scripture says in Mark 11:23-24 that it says that it shall not doubt. Doubt in the Greek is differ. And that's what the Babylonian language is trying to do. It is trying to distract you. It is trying to get you caught up into the next system, the next ideology. And it says not doubt in his heart. Heart in Greek is cardia. It's the operation of the spirit through the soul. It is our filter. And there's so many things. I mean, I've been in meetings where I'm sitting there and I know what I believe, and God speaks to me, and it's contrary to that. And we have got to be able to let go of this this language of confusion. You know, even this weekend, I kept hearing about, well, we want to see God show up. Several individuals said, we want to see God show up. Well, he's here. What they really should say is that, and you know, of course, one of the speakers said, well, he's here because we're here. But what the person really wants to say is that I want to see the intensity of the manifestation. Well, I don't have trouble with that, except for the fact is that my belief systems, so much of what we know of as miracles and signs and wonders and things like that, is all based on belief systems. We don't know how to step into a meeting and let God do something that he's never done before, because we have all these reference points of how it's supposed to be, particularly all of us who have experienced things. We know, well, this is a reference point, and this is how it's going to happen. And when it don't happen, even though people are at a place of peace and they sense his presence like never before, there's always somebody wanting to have another manifestation. I love manifestation if it's manifesting the Christ, but I don't want to manifest another belief system. I want to manifest the faith of Christ or the faithfulness of God in Christ. I don't want to manifest this thing that I call belief. If anything, I want to doubt my beliefs and operate in faith.
I'm telling you, that is so powerful. Don Ware was called in the other night, and I was managing the switchboard myself, so I recognize certain numbers that I have relationship with. And the interesting thing is, I see a person. Now, this is a person that I just met maybe 2-3 years ago, Mark. And I don't know if he's listening in tonight just logged in, but and plus I have this. I'm not looking at the switchboard, but I can tell you this: is that I never in my lifetime, have actually experienced someone who walks into a room and people start getting healed, and I say to God, I said, God, what people are saying they want, you have placed an anointing, and I bring this up for a point. You have placed an anointing with someone. Now, he may not speak eloquently and may not even own a concordance, but I can tell you this, that when stage 4 cancers roll off people and tumors shrink in services, when an anointing is present to heal, I mean completely heal, lives, relationships are mended. People start weeping and deliverance begins to take place without any words of eloquence or showmanship of any kind. I've never seen such humility. I've never seen this level of anointing. And I say that, and Apostle Don Ware, and right now I can't even remember the name of his ministry, but he's out of Kansas City, and he's a very good friend of mine. If any of you pastors are listening, you really want your people to be healed with no showmanship, you want something to happen in your ministry that will revolutionize the way you do church, I'm telling you, that is a vessel that God has raised up for sure. For sure, for sure, for sure. Such humility, Mark, such a soft-spoken, he's 69 years old, he'll quickly tell you. But I've seen in the manifestation, there's a lot of things we're crying about, and God said it before us, and we miss it because we're looking for it to come in a black suit and tie. We're looking for it to come in high heels and a pretty skirt. Come on, the mentality hasn't changed that much since Jesus was embodied as Jesus in the earth. The mentality of Babylon is still the same. We're still looking for somebody to be on TBN before we call them to our churches. We're still looking for somebody to be on the front page of Charisma before we think that they got a word. We're still looking for somebody to have their lines, their grammar correct and their Greek correct and their Hebrew correct. And I'm not. Mark and I have relationships, so Mark and I know where I'm coming. Mark knows where I'm coming from. We're still looking for somebody to be able to dissect the Hebrew before we can realize that God is still using some people that may not have gone to school, that may not have an education. I remember years ago that there was a man. I was in Dayton, Ohio, at this church that was Shul Up Babylon, and a brother came in and he got up to minister. He's 84 years old. I'll never forget this all the days of my life. And he began to talk about his third grade education. He couldn't even read the Bible. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. He couldn't read. What are you going to do with a man who can't read, who can't hands. And the anointing of God was so strong. And all he could do was tell the story of the Bible stories the way his wife had read them to him. Oh, my God. I am talking about people who totally have Babylon annihilated, totally have it wiped out. Don't mention the Babel is not in their brain, so the Babel is not in their lives. Because as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. If there's a Babel in your mouth, in your mind, there's a Babel in your mouth, there's a Babel, Babylon in your life. But I'm seeing the manifestation of God in this revolution. And I'm sitting back and I'm saying, oh, my God, this is you. This is what we preached about. This is what we talk about. But this is the manifestation of all the talk. Oh, glory to God. And I'm telling you, Mark and Kathy, and those of you who are listening live in archive, and let me tell you something. When you have men like Don Ware and his team, there are more people that are joining his team that are joining because they receive such what's called miracles, which should be our everyday life.
Yes, yes.
The miracle should be when we don't get it. Huh? We should be in shock that it didn't happen.
Exactly.
Not shocked that it does. And I am watching this, and I'm going to tell you, of all the people, I'm talking about personal relationship, and I know that there's more that have not bowed their knee to Baal. But I call Don Ware's name because that's not a personal relationship. I know this man.
Yes.
And he's carrying that. And if you tell him that I appreciate your anointing, he said, no, please, that's not mine. And if you say God really uses you, he said, who am I? Those are the things we don't see, my friends. But he's available. He will come anywhere. I mean, literally anywhere. With his little, what do you call those things you drive around with the houses on wheels?
Winnebago?
Yeah, one of those deals. I said, okay. I said, have house, we'll travel.
Yeah.
Don Ware. He told me the other day, he said, Dr. Faye, I really wish people wouldn't call me apostle. He said, I'm done. He's removing all labels, and I do understand. I really do understand, and I know you guys too. But anyway, the Holy Spirit was just tugging at me about that. He said, I want people to become that which they talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And he said, if we're going to be jealous over one another, let's be jealous over getting to that place of no words. Oh, my Lord. And, of course, on radio here, we have to use a lot of words to talk about getting to the place of no words. So, Mark and Kathy, you're back on. I'm listening.
Well, you know, the next verse brings out exactly what you said in Revelation 9:6. For I heard the voice of a multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God reigneth. We have a friend of ours named Ronnie Martin, and he came in. And he didn't come in with Greek and Hebrew. He came in with a vision that the Lord gave him. And he was sharing that vision. People felt it. People moved it. And it was the talk. Even though and this is a simple man. And there's a simplicity that God is bringing us back to. A simplicity. And that's what I see with Don. It's like there's a simplicity which bursts his humility. And Kelly has a comment.
Yes.
I'm just going to comment and go back on touch base on something you said earlier. You were talking about taking responsibility for our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we have to have our own relationship. We can't live vicariously through someone else. We can't go back and live grandma and grandpa's relationship that they had with God. We can't even live in that anointing that they carried. It's time for us to step up to the front. To have our own relationship, our own fellowship, our own communion and worship and meditation with God and build that fellowship with God, and that's the responsibility we have to have. And so that's something I ministered on this morning. We can't go back and live in the past. We can't allow ourselves to be defined in our present moment, in our now moment, by grandma and grandpa or mom and dad's past or their mistakes. Because we hang on to our wounds. That's something I ministered on, too. We hang on to our wounds and our hurts and our pains, or even our fears, and we allow that to hinder or even put us in bondage or imprison us in our minds in our now moments. And it's not even something that we're experiencing now. It's something we experienced years ago, decades ago, but we're allowing it to victimize us now.
Yeah, Kathy, don't you think that's part of our babble?
Exactly.
Even that,
that's not part
God.
Of our battle. That is our battle. That's what's keeping us in bondage. We're so stuck there that we can't function now. We've labeled ourselves as unworthy, inadequate, failures, that we can't see the true essence of God's being within ourselves, within each other. When I see you, Dr. Fay, I see God, and that's the way it should be. When you see me, we see God. We're created in a mirror image of Him. He created mankind so He could have fellowship, relationship
yes.
with Himself. And that's
yes.
what it's good. That's what we got to get back to.
Yes.
That's my heart.
I think that's
my heart.
Yeah, but that's a powerful point, because that being part of our babble also becomes part of our mountain that we've created.
Exactly.
Even the idea of God, that it's okay to hold on to those things. And good, well-meaning people, loving, kind, sometimes very giving people, are holding on to things because they feel that it is their religious duty to hold on to those things. And they keep repeating the same cycles in life. Doesn't matter about the address or the people that come in and out of their lives. Those cycles are still there because they
yes.
feel they have an entitlement to hold on to the pain, to hold on to the past. Because when you no longer feel the necessity to hold on to your pain, they no longer feel the necessity to hold on to all of the trauma and the drama, you free yourself out of prison. You
yes.
let yourself and the true self of yourself, your Christ, will be resurrected from a borrowed tomb. That borrowed tomb, that borrowed place was never yours. It was a borrowed place. And your Christ will be manifested from that place in your life, or in that place in your life, so that you can assume your position as a true son of God, as a king and priest unto God. It's more than a scripture, people. It is a truth. We are
yes.
kings and priests, woo, unto God the Father.
Yes.
We
that's
reign.
What we, yes. That's what we did at the conference this year. I mean, this weekend, God told me that to set it up with crowns, the priesthood. But going back, we hang on. You know, you're talking about feeling like we got to hang on to mom and dad's or whatever's relationship or their fellowship or anointing that, you know. But we've got to, I've lost my train of thought, but I'm just passionate, Dr. Fay, that we've got to let go. We've got to begin, we hang on because we fear the unknown. We hang on to mom and dad's, grandma and grandpa's relationship and their anointing with God because it's familiar. It's familiar to us. It's easy. It's easy. And if we were to, and we're scared, we're fearful to step up to that line, to step out of that box, because we don't know the unknown. We don't know who we are.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what we got to get past that. We got to know whose we are. When we begin to know who we are and remember and be awakened to whose we are, then the fear and the love of God, well, the fear is going to fall away because the veil is going to be ripped and torn, but the love is going to manifest, and the love overshadows everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He that is begotten of God, whew, has overcome the world.
Yeah.
We've been begotten of the Father, John said. We have to know whose genes we are, the Father's
yeah.
DNA.
Yeah.
You know, core discovery, those messages that I have taught, the Father's DNA, core discovery, not guilty. Get into the very core and the essence of who we really are, the very fabric of our being. You've been made of good stuff, people. And it's time for you to realize that you're nobody's throwaway. You're God's vessel. You are the house of God.
Yeah.
He's created you for a divine assignment. I heard something last night, I believe it was, and it said the two greatest days in your life would be the day that you were born and the day that you find out why.
Yeah.
And when you realize, whew, why you're here, it changes your entire outlook on life. And you and I, you guys know, you know, over the years we've been together, we talk destiny and identity, purpose, and pushing people in that arena, helping people to realize who they are. Mark, you better get in here and talk some more about talk some more, because Kathy and I are on a roll here. But definitely, this unveiling of the Christ keeps opening up more and more all about him and what he wants to do, and how he wants to do it, how he wants to unveil himself in every area of our lives. And I think one of the mistakes, innocent mistakes, and I call it a mistake because it missed the mark, was that we did not hear about the hierarchy of needs. We did not hear about the psychological, mental aspect of living through our teachers. And when we get into this book now and where we are now, if we do not have the psychological, the mental part, the mental health realm covered, because if we don't deal with the way people think and the way poor people have come from, just telling them to come to church is not doing it. All we have is another mental health institution with unresolved interventions, with interventions that are not working, with programs trying to fix people who really need a deeper work. And that's what God has really put on my heart, to get to the core, get to the root, and allow people to truly be awakened to the Christ within. Mark, are you still with us?
Oh, yes. I was thinking about when you shared that. My spiritual father, Ronnie Martin, shared a prophetic word, and he's a surveyor. And, you know, years and years ago, people put landmarks in certain places. Now, in several places, after those landmarks were set, there were people who actually robbed the original documents, put them in a cave, and burnt down the city courthouse. And then when they got back, they didn't know whose land was what. People got their land, and generation after generation was, you had stolen land. You had land that you said was yours that was never yours. And a few years ago, they decided to start surveying by satellites. In other words, the government unloaded all the information into the satellites. Well, guess what? All the old landmarks are being challenged. All of the old ideas of saying, this is where my thing was. And so you have a person that has been rich, that has acres of land, to find out they only own half of it. And what has happened is generation after generation, this has been the landmark, and now there's satellites, hello satellites, the body of Christ. God's given us revelation, and we're finding that the boundaries and the limitations were never what we thought they were. The people have said that you've got to live with this abuse, you've got to live with this mental assault, you've got to live, and all of a sudden, God releasing a revolution that's going to come out, it's going to begin to move the boundaries.
Come on, come on, come on. Reach it.
And so what then is that you have so many people that are coming out, that are coming forth, and these old landmarks. Listen, when you get in the room with someone like you mentioned, Don Ware, and he's got this anointing, there's a satellite in him that is saying, no, we don't have to live with this sickness and disease. We don't have to live in this mentality. You don't have to live. And so healing comes. And it's the same way when we begin to get together. And listen, all them old landmarks are being challenged. There are things that belong to you, and it has been stolen from generation to generation. generation to generation. You were told grandpa had it, grandma had it, therefore you're going to have it. And I'm saying this is a time that there's a revelation, a light. One of the other things this gentleman shared is that there are seeds in the ground, and those seeds can remain in the ground for years, and a certain type of light can spark it. I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care how long you've been in this. A revelation, one word in this broadcast can spring forth that seed. This is a revolution of satellites who are coming forth, who are broadcasting, hello, a different word, broadcasting a different revelation. And we are now coming forth in a whole new way. God is releasing his anointing. God is releasing his spirit in a whole new way.
Yes.
There is time for you to stop saying that this thing that you've always done is where you're at. And even this weekend, I have people that I knew that I would be facing. And you know what? The only judgment there was the judgment I still had in my mind, because they're in a different place. And the only reason there's conflict is because I have stuck them in a place. It's been 4 or 5 years, and I'm sitting here talking to people, and they're sharing revelation that's blowing my mind. And there's a part of my head that says, I never knew this. But folks, we are, and we who have more revelation than anyone else, hello, satellites, are going to be challenged not to judge people, but to begin to accept people. Stop rejecting them based on their past. You don't know what God has done. Don't count nobody out. He will raise somebody up with a word with the last person you expect, because he's God, he is the Lord God, he is omnipotent, and this is what he specializes in. The very person you said, this is the drug addict in my family, this is the person that's been in prison, he's not coming out. God said, look what I'm fixing to do. I'm fixing to blow your mind, because I'm not done. I am a living God. And this is what I'm prophesying to people on this broadcast. The old boundaries, it is time to be removed. Challenge it. Look at it. You know, my friend was telling me when they survey, they're in woods, and therefore when you look at it from their distance, all you see is trees and debris, but from the top, what you realize is that people are going, and one time they're online and one time they're not. But I'm telling you, no matter what we go through, we are still in this. God can put us back on that straight line, and we will reach purpose and destiny.
Yes. Oh, amen, 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 and amen, and amen, and amen. The only reason that we condemn, judge, or criticize others is because we have never awakened.
Yes.
That is so powerful. When you wake up, when you really wake up and realize that there is no them, there's only one, and that every person is you, every person is you. There's only one. You have just stepped in to an awareness of God. And when you get to that place, there is no option of turning back, because you don't know where back is. All you see is God. And that every person in front of you, it mirrors back who you are. My God, it changes you forever. You're totally trans. Go ahead, Kathy.
I said we see our I am-ness. You know, God says I am that I am. When I see you,
yes,
I see my am-ness. And I want to thank you for, Lord, I just want to thank you, Dr. Faye, for what you do and for accepting your I am-ness in me and in Mark, with no boundaries, no limitations.
You know, we've come on this broadcast, Kathy, and Mark pours his heart out in what the way God trains him and teaches him and has, because it's necessary that he dig deep and break, because he has to deal with the breaking up of old fallow ground, that Babylonian mentality. And he has been prepared for that. You've been prepared for that, Mark. I'm talking to you as if you're not in the room. You've been prepared for that, and it is vital. But I want people to understand, because the critics come from all walks of life. And they come with, oh, you don't need Greek and you don't need Hebrew. Well, we understand that. We know that. But the reality is we need it all.
Yes.
And when it all consummates, it consummates in the birthing of the Son of the living God out of the womb of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's undeniably the power and presence of God. And that's the oneness. Mark digs deep, and you call his voicemail, and it'll say, I'm in the library. I think it's so funny. I'm in the library looking for some more books. I think it's so funny. But you call his voicemail, and you get messages like that because he has a passion for research. He, in the spirit realm, he's a scientist. He's always doing research. He's the one with the microscope. He's the one in the laboratory, putting things together to see what pops, to see what makes what. And then when he comes forth, I can take that and teach you what to do with it. Because God puts people together that work together in harmony. And that's what it's going to take. No, not everybody will be able to flow in the same circle. But what we are trying to tell you is that we understand the oneness. I understand the power that God has placed within Kathy. I understand the uniqueness. And even though Kathy and Mark are married, their giftings are quite different, but yet they're one. Come on, you husbands and wives.
Yes.
You have to understand giftings and respect the giftings and honor the giftings, but realize that it all works for the self-same good of the, by the Holy Spirit to yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness in the lives of others. This is a powerful time, people. This is a powerful broadcast. I appreciate you, Mark. I appreciate you, Kathy. And I want us to continue to talk tonight because there are people right now that are sitting on the edge of their seats. I feel it in the spirit, sitting on the edge of their seats and say, give me more. So, Mark or Kathy, whichever, just jump right in.
Well, this weekend I talked about 1 Corinthians 14:33. And this is the Jonathan Mitchell translation. For God is not the source of instability, but on the contrary, peace. And this translation puts shalom through there, which is nothing missing, nothing broken. But then it says, for he's not a God of confusion. And the translation here says he doesn't exist in unrest, disorder, and I love this word, turbulence. But he is a God of peace. Turbulence, you know, years ago we built these big old cars, and when they were in wind, they went against the wind, and you put them in the wind tunnels, and you could hear noise. That's why Pentecost was so loud, because we didn't know how to flow with the Spirit. But now they build cars where you don't even hear the wind because it's going with the wind, and that's what God is doing. He is raising a revolution of people who are going with the Spirit, going with the anointing, and I am so appreciative. God is pulling nuggets out and speaking to us. Just, you know, there was a guy named Rokas this weekend, and he said, you know, there's oneness and unity. Unity means there's two that has to flow as one. And I thought about that. There's a compounding of giftings. And Kathy has a comment on that.
Sure.
You were talking about marriage and that Mark has an anointing and a gifting, and I have a gifting. Well, from the very beginning of our relationship, which is we'll be married 20 years in September, but from the very beginning, we've always had our individual relationships, but yet we had our relationship together, and that's what it takes. We have in any marriage, you have to have your individuality and not live your life through your spouse, not become attached. I mean, you're attached, but know when to detach. And that's the whole other subject.
It's right on the subject. It's right on the subject because I'm glad you brought that back to the table. And the reason you brought it back to the table is the Holy Spirit is saying to people, it's okay to be a member of a church. It's okay to be a part of that ministry. But you cannot live your relationship with God through your pastor.
Or the building. We become attached to the walls.
Yes.
Because a pastor can come and go, but we get attached to the four walls.
Yes.
And we bind ourselves. We put ourselves in bondage, and I keep going back to that. We put our minds and our hearts in bondage because of our choices, because of our actions, and because of our fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just ready. I just want to see people free. This woman this weekend hasn't seen me in 7 years, and I know God's bringing her over these 7 years has been bringing me out of my shell to do what I'm doing right now. But she's like, you are a totally different person. I didn't recognize you. And it wasn't nothing I did. It was she saw God, the change, the God being revealed from within me. And that's what it takes.
Oh, absolutely. That's the greatest testimony when others see him. When
others
really see him. And that's good. Extremely well. Mark, we got a few minutes here. Jump right in.
Well, you know, as we were talking this weekend about turbulence, you know, it's so interesting because I thought about all the times in my life that, you know, I was in confusion. But you're talking about that mountain, how that mountain is obscure. You know, there is a place in our lives where things are hidden for us, but not from us. There are points that God will say, you've got to step out in your destiny. You've got to step out in your purpose. You know, I can get a map of a city, and that map will actually point me. It'll keep me going till I experience that city. But that city is going to be nothing like that map. That's the difference in revelation and experiencing him. I thank God for the revelation, but there's a point that you got to quit looking at the map, quit looking at the signs, get in the city and experience the dimensions of the city, because we have so many people pointing and talking about Christ, but very few are going to let him walk through them. They're going to not let them flow through them. And I'll say this, that God in Christ has made judgment fulfilled, but he wants to flow that judgment through you. And so that you can, when we walk in and we lay hands, we are saying this is the judgment of God, that no more sickness and disease. We are manifesting that. And that may be odd for people, but judgment just means decision. Let God's decision to for your wholeness flow through you. Quit talking about it and be it.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Kathy, any last words for tonight?
Just I encourage people just to stop thinking so much. Stop overanalyzing so much. We heard some things this weekend. I know we keep referring to this weekend, but it's not just this weekend. It's life in general. We hear people say, well, someone speak, and they say, oh, I believe that. And then they go and an hour later, because they have thought about it, they've analyzed it, they've had time to second-guess themselves, per se, and they say, well, now I don't believe in what they said. Quit second-guessing yourself. Know from a knowing within who you are, and know that God's bringing about that change in you. Know that you, like you said, Dr. Faye, that you are God's best, and that you can, God, you can do all things through Christ, and if you can do all things through Christ, that sums up everything. And that he will not give you more than you can handle. You might be going through something right now and you think there is no way out. There's always a way out. Just stop and allow God to move in your life. We hinder the move of God in our lives because of our agendas. We create the chaos and we're thinking, why did God let this happen? God didn't let it happen. We did, because we put ourselves in his position.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stop. We've got to stop putting ourselves in that position and allow God to move and allow that freedom of God to flow through us. And as Mark was saying, even as us and the healing, everything you need will begin to flow into your life when we get ourselves out of the way.
Amen, amen, amen. Mark and Kathy Eden out of Dallas, Texas, thank you so much for bringing the unveiling of the Christ, the undiscovered God in us, tonight right here on Dr. Faye Live. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're so happy that you've been a part of tonight's broadcast, which always seems to be a little bit too short at times, but it's just what God wants. Go back and listen to the archive, and it will transform your thinking, revolutionize your life. We pray that this broadcast will bring an awareness to you like nothing else ever has. Again, join us every Sunday night. We're here for Dr. Faye Live, and we are here on Friday nights for Empower Me Now. Visit us at www.drfaye.com. God bless you. We love you, Mark and Kathy. Until next time, you guys remember that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's ready to do a work in your life right now. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
being sponsored by friends and partners of the Global Church and Dr. Fay. We invite you to become a partner right now at www.drfay.com or call us at 215-621-9704. That number again, 215-621-9704, to make your tax-deductible donation. Join us next week for more of Dr.